secrets. Yeah. Throw them up. Throw them up. It's trade secrets
now. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Trade Secrets. Today is Wednesday, October 6, 2004. I'm Adam Curry in Belgium.
Dave Weiner here in Seattle.
And you're sounding mighty fine, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You too.
Yeah.
So, we like it.
Yeah, we like it, man. We like it very much. How you doing, Dave?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. We had a debate last night, and it was kind of, it was weird. But, you know, interesting times.
I didn't see the debate because it was it was another 3 a.m. Deal for me here if I wanted to see it. And I was kind of hoping you were going to do another one of your, let's listen along to Dave comment on the debate.
Oh, listen, what you would have heard was me snoring because it really put me to sleep.
Really? It was that bad? It was boring?
It wasn't that it was that bad. It was just that it wore on you. I mean, they were extremely belligerent and, you know, and I think that they had prepped Edwards, basically, that, you know, Cheney's going to be this grouchy old dude, so you have to turn the grouchiness up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were both sort of like, you know, whining at each other.
Oh, okay.
So, and it was like, it got old after a while. I was going, okay, yeah. Great, so you guys don't like each other. I get it.
So
okay?
No fireworks, no.
Yeah, well, there was actually more fireworks in this one than in the presidential one, but the presidential one was sort of like you're sitting on the edge of your chair the whole time.
Yeah, because it's so presidential.
Knowing that there are going to be, that there are going to be some just great mixes coming out of that one.
Oh, yeah.
There were.
It's so cool. Yeah. I did you have a chance to listen to the source code today yet?
Haven't. No.
Okay, because I found another one. I found a great song, which was Trigger Happy. And it's a real song, you know, well-produced and everything.
Really?
Yeah, another.
I lag you by about, generally these days, by about 24 hours. So I'm really up on the Peter Sellers singing She Loves You. I got that one. You
know? Yeah, that was a classic, actually. That was, I've heard that one before, but it just kind of fell into my iPod the other day.
Now, that wasn't really Peter Sellers, was it? Or?
I know that Peter Sellers did an album like that. He also did.
You think that was?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, he did Hard Day's Night. Really? He did. What was it? She Loves You, and he also did Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds in the same.
No.
I'll look it up online.
Are you sure that wasn't William Shatner? He did. Lucy
he did exactly the same. He did exactly the same. Yeah, he did Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I don't think he did Hard Day's Night. Why are we discussing the discography of William Shatner? Oh, man.
Listen, it was really funny. I heard an interview with William Shatner. I think I was, like, in Tennessee. It was on a drive across country. And the funny thing about it was that he was serious. And
he's deadly serious.
Kind of cool. Everybody's making fun of it. But he thought he was adding something to the, you know, to the culture.
Do you know what his big thing is? You know what he's really into? Because I know him. I've met him a couple. I've interviewed him. His big thing is horses.
No kidding, really.
Yeah, and he has a weblog. His daughter keeps a weblog, BillShatner.com, and it's current every single day. And it's about, you know, Bill's appearances, Bill's horses. It's really good.
How about his...
Sorry?
Have like a category for his hair? Have a category for his hair.
Why is it people who are losing their hair that are always ragging on people's hair? You know, what's up with that?
Listen, we're all losing our hair, man.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah. All excepting yours truly. That's true. You were blessed with incredible hair. I know.
I'm lucky that way, boy.
So, it reminds me of the time in 2000. You and I were walking somewhere in Greenwich Village, coming out of some bloggers dinner or whatever. And you said, you know, all geeks like you and me. And I stopped. I had to look at you. Come on, Adam. You're not a geek.
No, I remember very well.
I mean, it was sort of like, you know, whatever.
No, I remember this. I remember. Yeah. It was such a letdown because at that point I was like, oh man, I'm hanging with the real geeks now. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, you can't be a part of our little team.
It's funny. The grass is always greener, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, like, you're a TV star. You're a TV star. Somebody needs to tell you that. You're a TV star.
Everybody now. Yeah.
You need to hear that.
You know, video killed the radio star, though, Dave. You know that, right?
I heard that one. So the radio industry is tuning into podcasts.
They're waking up,
really,
sure.
Something. Yeah, that NAB prediction that you made. Well, we saw a newsletter And at the top of that newsletter, I forget which, you linked to it, right?
Yeah, it's the radio and internet newsletter. That's what it was.
Exactly. And at the top of the thing, he says, if you're going to be at the NAB. In fact, I'm watching CNN right now, and they're at the NAB.
At the NAB.
Rush Limbaugh is giving a speech. Yeah.
Saying, he's hey, y'all want to buy some pills for me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would, actually.
Oh, Patricia has some great... I got to tell you this. Patricia has some...
Yeah, actually, that's what they're talking about, Adam.
Really?
Exactly that. Yeah.
Now, Patricia has some great pills that you got to try.
Medical records... What? Record seizure did not affect Limbaugh's privacy.
Well, wonderful.
They say.
So, oh, damn.
He's going to hang out with Martha Stewart.
Play some golf with Martha. I was going to say, Patricia has some great pills, you know, for all the heart trouble. And it's I got to find out what the name is, but she says, you take one of those, and if you have any anxiety, it just removes the anxiety. It's wonderful.
That's got to be Xanax.
Xanax, that's it. Really that's good. It, Xanax, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah, like you could tell when they gave Bill Clinton the Xanax, so he was in there.
He got real mellow.
Surgery. Yeah, he wasn't worried about anything. He stopped calling Larry King at that point. He sort of let it all go. You know?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Kerry, Bush. You know what's the difference?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so.
But so there's this lag, and I hear an echo. There's an echo, and I hear a lag. So it's like this is choppy today.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't have an echo. Yeah. You're coming through fine. But what we really wanted to try and set up, which I would have loved, is to have you record your voice locally on MP3 and then just send me the file, and I wanted to sync them up, but couldn't get that to work. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
No, that's the story of my life. That's the story of my life, Adam. We couldn't get it to work.
We couldn't.
That's my epitaph. It's going to say that on my tombstone. He couldn't get it to work.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So I heard your bit about...
At least you can have a good laugh about it.
Yeah. I heard your bit about security on the Morning Coffee Nose. By the way, good Morning Coffee Nose. Your best ones are done late at night, I think. It was...
Yeah, isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah. No, it was good. But the whole bit about... privacy and, you know, it was just good. I played a bit on the source code because it was, you know, the stuff you don't think about. You get so easy with your data and you forget about it. You forget what's going on and shit starts
not
to happen.
Not me. I'm doing all my banking on the internet now, and I don't even know if I want to say that on the on a podcast.
Don't worry. We're not going to tell anyone
whatever,
else.
But yeah, sure. But the security is appalling on these machines, you know. And
how does your bank do security?
I just got an email. Uh-huh. I laugh. I mean,
yeah,
like, you know, it's got so many holes in it. It's ridiculous. And then today it was really funny. After recording that piece, I got a spam that somehow routed itself to my friend's mailbox, so I actually saw it. They are offering me 10 free Visa MasterCard numbers if I join this site. In other words, this was a, yeah, they said, oh, you can have 10 for free and then you have to pay after that. You know, sort of like, oh, cool. That's
oh,
great.
Don't worry. I think I can withdraw enough to pay for that.
Yeah, right. So the next thing is going to be body parts. Or,
yeah.
You know,
well, I do online banking
like that,
and my bank has a card reader. You put your bank card in, it gives you a challenge string, which is, you know, kind of the way I'm used to doing it from the old Unix days. And then you type that challenge string in, and then you're in. So there's a separate authentication process step in the middle. You don't have that with your bank?
No, none of that.
Oh, really?
No.
Huh.
No.
That doesn't sound
good. I mean,
good.
I've tried to put rules on the other end where, you know, I've said to them, if there's anything other than this exact amount transfer. I mean, I've got two accounts, right? One is where, you know, is a brokerage account where I keep most of my money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is my checking account where I write checks from, you know? And so that's, like, and you know, I transfer money from the brokerage account into the regular account on a fairly, you know, regular basis. And I've tried to tell them at the brokerage account, never accept a transaction for anything other than this exact amount.
Right.
And if it's anything, just reject it. Well, I tested it.
Yeah, they, it doesn't work, does it?
No. They're perfectly happy to transfer whatever amount I ask them to.
But, you know, you just leave your money anyway. In your investment account, and it'll dwindle all by itself. You don't have to do anything.
Well, no, I mean, haven't invested. Are you kidding? What do you mean it'll dwindle? I'm doing really well, actually.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, making shitloads of money. I mean,
oh, that's good.
I mean, I've also lost shitloads of money. I mean, so, like, it all kind of evens out in the end. But yeah. Actually, net-net, I'm making money. This year, actually, has been
yeah,
really good.
I haven't been in the market for 3 years.
Really? So what do? You just keep it under your pillow or something?
I'm sitting on it right now.
Really? Keep it in your ass. Okay, that's cool. Right yeah. There with the steel rod, right?
It's a real tight wad, man.
So that was good, that bit that you did. I mean, I can see the whole iPodder thing is developing really, really nicely now. The directory looks great. I have to link to the directory today so that everybody
yeah,
can see
what
that
I was thinking, because I want this to look better. Maybe I should give Brian Bell an assignment to come up with a nice theme. You know, this looks so... You know.
Well, that would be cool. I mean, Brian's time is hard to come by, and but of course his work is absolutely the best.
Yeah, I love what he does. So, but he does it commercially, right? He does themes. He does those for a living, or doesn't do that anymore? I thought he did that.
I don't want to. I can't speak for Brian. I mean, basically, I don't know. He did the white on orange XML button that has become so ubiquitous.
Yeah, that's cool.
I said to him, Brian, give me something that'll represent, my RSS feed.
Right.
And so he asked for some basic parameters, and I gave them to him, and bing, that's what came back, and now yeah. It's a standard that everybody's fucking with. So
yeah, from Apple to you name it.
Apple.
Yeah, they changed the colors.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Right. So mm-hmm. I was talking with the Microsoft guys the other night, and they were asking me, what's going on with Google and Yahoo and the rest of those guys. And I said, it's really funny, but, the techies are the ones that basically, zig when I ask them to zag, But the publishing industry goes straight down the middle of the road. They don't innovate. They don't. They just basically are being really compatible. And I said, Microsoft's been one of the biggest supporters of this, and Apple has too. I mean, Apple's RSS has been exemplary. It's been really cool, as has Microsoft's. He asked about that. I said, don't you change. Don't you even think about changing. But it's funny how that works out. I mean, engineers just, whatever reason, the big picture is, hey, we'd all be a lot better off if we did this shit the same way, and that we competed on the basis of the quality of our service and our innovation in other areas. But somehow that big picture, it's a shortcut they can use. And so you end up with Google offering Atom feeds for Gmail, but not RSS feeds. And
interesting that Evan left,
Yeah, and you know what? After he left, he signed up for BloggerCon, so maybe there's hope for the world, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell... happened there? Why all of a sudden did they become so hostile to RSS at Google? And what's the upside? Why, what do they get for being, such jerks about this stuff? And I don't know. I mean, I have a new rule, by the way, that every time I mention the name Google, I have to put $100 in a jar somewhere. So.
Oh boy.
It's a joke, Adam. That's a joke. That's
well, no,
joke.
I was going to send you my PayPal account. Just drop it in my tip jar there, Dave. No problem. We'll accept it.
Oh, cool.
We'll accept it from you.
Actually, it reminds me of money. We're going to have to start raising money for BloggerCon pretty soon.
Yeah, you're going
to
do a PayPal thing for that?
I am. And I just was working on, in the last hour, an RSVP page where... people who aren't going to be able to make it will be able to say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it, so that we can make room for people who are going to be able to make it and really want to come. And we're going to juggle things. I think we actually will put something opposite the podcasting session now because, the question is, will more than 160 people show up at that time?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, yeah, there probably will be more than 160 people. And rather than have them standing out in the hall making a lot of trouble, let's give them something to do.
Yes, how many people can fit in a room for a session?
Well, I have on the grid, which is at www.bloggercon.org/iii/schedule. If you look at that, in the left-hand margin, the rooms are listed and the capacities are also listed. So
okay, I'll check it out.
And I'll answer your question.
But, I'm not going to fire up any browsers.
That, you know, yeah, that's a good idea. But, yeah, well, I guess I'm firing up the browser, so...
You were talking about... just going back a second, you were talking about how we should have all this stuff work the same. And it hit me last night. I saw that someone had made a podcast icon, you know, like that you could attach your RSS feed to, so just like an XML icon, which is, of course, a really good idea. But then we bumped into the holy grail of weblogs where we can't have one uniform... podcast icon if we're expecting it to auto-subscribe, since we have like 15 different iPodder engines out there. And that's going to be my next call to the community, the iPodder development community, is can we come up with a standardized subscription mechanism so we can actually have a podcast icon?
You know, that's the same problem that RSS has.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the echoes really bad right now. So
really?
Yeah, so, and there is a solution to that problem. So that's like kind of what I wanted to say is, you know, it's like if you come up with this with a solution, great. If you don't, we will have one to offer soon, I think.
Right.
There is a way to solve that problem. I think it's with a centralized service and a little bit of user preferences. And
a centralized service for the subscriptions, you mean?
Yeah, to do the translation so that you tell it what you're, you know, in this case, the iPodder is an aggregator, right? And you tell it what aggregator you're using. The reason is if you try to set a standard on the desktop for what these guys do, then you won't be able to run more than one. You know?
Exactly.
So they kind of all have to do it differently. I mean, you should, you know, it sounds stupid to have two iPodders, but let's say you want to try another one out, but in the meantime, you have to keep listening to the things you subscribe to.
Right.
Well, you're not going to want to throw the old one off until you're actually sure that the new one works. So they're right there. You kind of need to have them not collide with each other and not all do it the same way. On the other hand, I kind of wonder why you even need to do that, because an iPodder feed or a podcast feed is just an RSS 2.0 feed.
Oh, yeah.
So why not use exactly the same mechanism? I mean,
right.
Know.
But that's what I'm... Yeah, okay. The same mechanism, right. I'd like to use the same mechanism, but there's a back end that's not baked into the iPodders yet.
Right. They don't have
They don't have a web server running and all that stuff.
Yeah, since they're not web servers, that's probably not going to be all that easy to do.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And although, on the other hand, you're right. You know, everyone's pretty much, anyone who's used an aggregator by now, I think, knows, okay, there is going to be some copy-paste involved. And it's not a big deal, but it's, you know, iPodder is all about simplicity, right?
Right, and you're doing really good work there at making it really simple. And but you're... Your previous statement's just right on. There's nothing we can do other than if we owned the browser, Adam, then there would be a lot we could do. But we don't own the browser, so you know we're basically fucked. So the directory, I think, let's talk about that for a minute. Because
on the iPodder.org, sure.
I think what's going to, I mean, the redirect is happening right now, so the site, it will look a lot better for everybody, although very much like it looked, you know. It's a very smooth transition here. It's just going to get better, and sort of bugs were fixed, and things look better, but, you know, maybe even performs a bit better because it's not running on an overburdened server anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then what are the next steps? And it occurred to me that, and you've got a phenomenal directory there, and I think that we ought to develop that. Well, let other people contribute to it. One of the nice things about OPML, which, by the way, that is an OPML directory you're working on, is that you can include other OPML directories in your directory. So if you wanted to delegate some part of that to some other author who wanted to maintain, a piece of that directory, All they would have to do is produce an OPML document and then, you know, make sure that's on the public web so that the server software can access it. And then whenever they update it, within an hour, our server will pick up those updates.
Oh,
and,
yeah, right. I remember how that works.
It's a way to sort of
yeah.
branch out, cover. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a good time to use it. I mean, and, you know, I mean, it would be nice to see that OPML gets well used in this context where there was a lot of fighting over it and a lot of sort of when it came to aggregators, like people that would output things but change the names of things. And you'd ask them, why did you change the name of that? Oh, I just didn't like the name that you used. And I go, come on, you know, why do you do that? So the hope here is that we can bootstrap something that is, because podcasting should be very broad. It should cover, like, basically every human activity. So
yeah.
The directory should be very broad, too.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's good. So, indeed, I remember now how that worked. If you just need to produce an OPML document and send a URL, and then I just hook a node into that URL, right? And then it's seamless. And then when you click on that, even though it's being sucked in from somewhere else or cached or whatever, then is it cached or is it a live update?
It's cached. Cached for up to an hour.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, after an hour, it throws out the cache and rereads it. That's how you do the updates.
Right.
And the suggest a link feature, you know, when somebody's browsing the part of the directory that someone else authored, the suggestions go to that person.
Right.
So they get the full.
Oh, okay. So if someone else. Oh, right. So it won't come to me. It'll go to the person who's maintaining that particular node of the directory.
Because, of course, that would be. Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh,
and I also want to, and this probably will have to wait until after BloggerCon because it's going to keep me pretty busy, but I also want to make it so that it's that basically if somebody suggests a link to you and you want to use it, that it should just be a one-step operation. You should just basically
click
on a link and say that says yes.
Yeah, you know, right.
And
there
not
you
have
go.
To go edit anything.
And,
right?
and also stuff,
you know,
that
shorten that process.
Yeah, also stuff that I was thinking as I was using the directory myself. So in the suggest a link, it actually gives you a space, and people are using that. You know why this link should be in the directory, but. Right now we're just linking to the RSS feeds. It might be, you know, is there a way to do it so you can also go to the website?
Well, that would require customization of the directory code. It was never designed for that purpose, but I'm totally into doing that, you know, that kind of customization. But that has to, well, you know, we'll see what happens.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe
right
I could
now,
just maybe I could just
I
add the if I just add the link, if I add a HTML link code to the node.
Yeah,
that would work, wouldn't it?
You can do that.
Yeah,
it would work. It's less than optimal. I mean, you kind of want to have more of a database behind there, and you know, we can do that, but. It's not going to be something I can do right away. And I hate it when people say that. But
that's so disappointing, kind of Dave. You've just totally blown my entire day now.
I know.
You're too busy. God
well,
damn.
Something happened. I'll tell you. We were at this Microsoft thing. You know, it's for 2 days, and there were about 30 bloggers in the room, and there were like about 30 Microsoft people. And of course, they didn't do it in an unconference format. They had the Microsoft people who were in front of the room, and we were the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but we kind of, there was a point when we just sort of broke out of that mold and just started screaming at them. But it was funny. Yeah, it was really something. And they tried to get hold of it. And I said, don't do that. I mean, this is welcome to the blogosphere. It's
yeah,
a lot of
go.
People yelling at each other. But we actually get shit done this way, you know. Now I forgot what. Oh, right. So it's like the poor Microsoft people, because we were telling them, you know, hey, we want this, we want that, we want this. Do this. Well, okay, so. And they kept saying, well, thanks for the feedback. Oh, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll hey, we appreciate your work. Thanks for your input. It's really valuable that you guys were here today.
Exactly. We'll put that on the list for the things we do after we do everything else.
The way we want
you know?
To do it.
And, I mean, that's kind of the way we heard it, you know. And then, so, of course, we took this one guy during one of the breaks. He came to talk with a couple of us, and me and Chris Perillo, and we just beat the crap out of him about RSS. We just said, no, you just got to do it. Stop making excuses. It's really easy. It'll take you half a day to do it. You know, if you tell me you have to take 6 months, I know you're bullshitting us, you know. And the poor guy, his gears were stripped. I mean, you know, But he came back after the break, and he said he had gone to visit with the program manager, and he got it on the schedule for 2 weeks from now.
Whoa.
And so we all stood up and gave him a standing
ovation. Standing O, yeah.
Glowing for the whole rest of the time. And I said, that's what we got to do. We got to do more of this kind of stuff where we don't have to beat you up to get you to do something really simple that makes it possible for us to take your work and use it in 50 billion different ways. You know,
yeah.
That takes the burden of innovation off of the FEU. So that's, you know, so like, of course, what I'm doing now is I'm saying, yeah, well, I'll do this after I do everything else I have to do.
It's all that Microsoft magic rubbing off on you, man. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Death Star pixie dust.
We'll get to it. I want this to be my top priority. And frankly, that's kind of been the problem, is that it has been. And that's why BloggerCon has sort of suffered a little bit, because, you know, here we are in Podcastville, you know, and everything's going great. So
definitely is. I'm having a this is actually one of our quality wise, this is really good. I'm using a little different setup today, and I'm pretty happy with it.
And how is that? What is the different setup?
Well, you heard about the Engadget guys, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So they spent hours and hours trying to figure out how to do this. And they were using all the same bits that I'd been using, that Hugo Schottmann had been using. But there was one additional thing called Soundflower Bed, which is just it's basically the only thing that I could get everything working the way it is now, except then when I talked, I would hear myself with a second delay, which makes it impossible to talk if you have that on the headphones. And so this Soundflower Bed basically lets you listen to the audio before it's routed to a different place. So, So I had the general setup already figured out, but now they've figured out how to, or they pointed me to this thing that lets me monitor it in the right way. So it's good, and it's working. Knock on wood. Wait, stand on some garlic as usual, Dave.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So what do you think about privacy? Do you think we ought to have it?
Well,
do you think we ought to depend on Microsoft for Passport? I mean,
it's funny because as liberal and as as liberal as the Netherlands is when it comes to, you know, a whole bunch of things that we can do that you can't do anywhere else, particularly in the United States, the one thing that really freaks me out is that they have the power for any reason whatsoever to tap your phone line. And I've heard statistics, they're doing 50,000 phone taps a month.
Wow.
And it's that kind of stuff that that really freaks me out. When it comes to the internet, you know, I don't know how good the monitoring systems are and all that, but I know that if someone wants to get your shit, if someone wants to get into your accounts or anything, right now there is, as far as I know, there's no real protection. I like what my bank does with a challenge string on a card and all that, because I think that's reasonably secure. But I don't know anything about their system. I don't know how, you know, what kind of back ends or holes they might have. But yeah, of course it's important. It's really important for a number of reasons. You're seeing with this phone tap shit that's going on here that people are being, you know, it's like razzias, you know, it's like breaking down people's door in the middle of the night. You know, we know you're a terrorist, and we heard you mentioned these things. You talk about a big game. We know what the code word big game stands for. And it turns out it's a perfectly nice Moroccan family who has nothing to do with anything, you know. So everyone was lucky that time, you know. So that's, it's real important that you have privacy and that there are certain rules that have to be followed in prosecution of breaking those rules.
So what's the in switching gears a little bit? What is the European view of the U.S. presidential election? Do you hear from people talking about that, or what do they think?
On the presidential debate, first of all, because that's kind of been dominating the news everywhere. Everything I read in Europe, including the UK, was, you know, Bush definitely did not come out the winner of that debate. And everybody here in the press as well It is common knowledge that there's a war being fought where Osama bin Laden is not. And that is pointed out continuously. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. But that's about it. Mm-hmm.
So are we totally fucked if we re-elect Bush here?
Well, from a European perspective?
Yeah, or whatever, from the Adam Curry perspective.
Definitely, definitely. Cool. I've gotten into the I've totally gotten into the vibe of the big conspiracy, you know, and it's there. I believe it.
Hey, wait, something just came over. You got to check this out. They announced Howard Stern will move to satellite radio in 2006.
Really?
So he's off commercial now. Yeah, yeah. They had a little interview with him there.
Well, that's going to be huge boost for XM. That's going to be big for those guys.
Maybe we can get him to do a podcast.
Well, and the Engadget guys were talking about that, and I played a clip on the source code. This would be perfect for him. You know, leave the commercials in, no problem. We'll listen to the commercials. It's just like radio that he's used to, except he doesn't have to go clear all these friggin' markets, and he can finally do it uncensored, which I think is what he wants anyway.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because he won't be able to do it uncensored on XM radio. I think they have some regulations. We'd have to find out, but I don't think he can go totally uncensored there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So do you know that Bush didn't like the way he did in the debate either? And so tonight he's giving an address to the nation where he's going to try to do it again, except this time the innovation is no John Kerry.
Wait a minute. Is everyone going to pick that up? That's fucked up. That's not equal air time.
It is totally fake. It's like breaking the rules, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to backfire on him. I mean, basically, there's a certain sense of fair play that, you know, we're in the sort of period where unless there's something really dramatic happens, that Bush is a candidate for president who happens to be in the White House, you know. And, you know, he gets a lot of advantages. Like Cheney said last night that that Bush was in Iowa signing some bill that gives money to people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think it was a coincidence that it gives money to people who he needs votes from.
You
know, this is the one time that he's not giving money to his, you know, CEO fat cat friends. He's giving it to middle-class people in Iowa, right? Oh, well, maybe that has something to do with the fact that he wants to win Iowa.
Don't say.
No, couldn't possibly be. I mean, of course it couldn't be. I mean, but then, you know, he's going on TV, and it hasn't been a big stink about it yet, but...
But the rules are equal airtime, and I mean, he's going to address the nation, but
I don't think so. No. When Bush went on, you know, to talk about that, there is equal airtime for things that are like institutional, like the State of the Union address. There is equal airtime, not equal actually, but they get a chance to give their point of view.
When I signed my my license, my radio operator's license, it very specifically stated the equal airtime rule. And it doesn't matter when or in... State of a Union address is something very defined, but as far as I understood the rules, if I let Democratic person A on the show for 5 minutes, I have to give 5 minutes to an opposing party. That's the rules that I always learned. It was a radio broadcast license, but it's the same thing, I believe.
I think there's a difference when the president goes on TV to address the nation. I mean, that string of words, you know, that, I don't know.
It depends on what he's going to do. If he talks about all the same issues as the debate, which was Iraq, 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 and he says the same words.
No, he could say that there's an emergency. He could say, oh, it's an emergency. I have to talk to the people.
Right. Now, I understand what you're saying.
I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm the president of the United States. And, you know, bring the camera in the Oval Office and we got to have a talk.
Well, it better be really good then. If he's going to waste my time and interrupt my primetime television programming, it better be damn good.
Oh, you know it's going to be good. I mean, he is extremely... collegial, genial, avuncular, friendly wife of whatever her name is, Laura Bush. No, I'm sorry, he's the husband of Laura Bush. He opened his speech. He was on TV just before this thing started, and he opens it up and says, yeah, I know you guys would rather hear from Laura. And they all go crazy. Oh, yeah, yeah, we'd love to hear from Laura. Why? And then, so you think, well, why doesn't he just go off the stage already? I mean, geez. Or he could be the first lady and she could be the president. Or he could be the Pope and she could be the president.
Let me see if I can find this. I have something that I want to play. It would be so cool. I bet you I don't have it. Man. Have you ever heard the first black president? You ever heard that? That song?
No, I don't think so. Who does it?
Curtis Blow. Let me see.
I don't know. I've not heard that.
I'll have to get that one next time. Shoot, that would have been perfect for this. You want to play a song? Let me guess what you want to hear. Want to play some Prince?
I'd rather be the president. No, you could be the president. I'd rather be the Pope.
You'd be the Pope.
And then
the
I'd love to hear, right after that, I would just love to hear that butt-gusting, you know, stream of nonsense from George Bush at the first debate, if you happen to have that around. You know?
Oh, damn. Now you go ask me for that, eh? Hold on. Let me see if I can find that. That I could probably play. Hold on. Let me see.
Well, it's on scripting news. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. Man.
Hey, you got to warn people about that one, though. If you haven't heard it, okay... You got to put down your coffee cup. You got to, like, basically get yourself into a place where there aren't any sharp objects around. You have to be near a toilet because you just never know what's going to happen.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country. I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work. It's incredibly hard. And I just know how this world works. There's a lot of good people working hard, and we're making progress there. When I was running, when we had the debate in 2000, never dreamt I'd be doing that. And we've been effective. I believe that in terms of Darfur, prior to Darfur, secondly, we've set up what's called the... Well, first of all, I agree with my opponent that it's hard work. Everybody knows it's hard work. But by speaking clearly, it'll mean it's less likely we have to use force. That wasn't a popular move. And it's hard work. And I made some tough decisions. So you say, was it worth it? It wasn't. I understand what it means to be the commander in chief. We're making progress. It is hard work. Of course, I know Osama bin Laden attacked us. I know that. Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, bin Laden. Let me say, I certainly hope so. It's one of the things I've learned in the White House is that there's enormous pressure on the president, and you cannot wilt under that pressure. Otherwise, I just think, how can I follow this guy? I think that by speaking clearly. The hardest part of the job is something as fundamental as what you believe in your core, in your heart of hearts, is right for in Iraq. You cannot lead if you send mixed messages. You know, it's hard work to try to... No, what I said was that that democracy will best... I believe that, that we've done a lot of hard work together over the last 3.5 years. And I have you know, we have to be right 100% of the time. And it's hard work. That's not going to happen so long as I'm your president. I'm a pretty calm guy. I mean,
okay. All right.
I don't take it personally. I understand that we must let me tell you one thing. Actually, we've increased funding for dealing with nuclear proliferation. Let me first. Of course, we're doing everything we can to protect America. I wake up every day thinking about how best to protect America. That's my job. There's a lot of really good people working hard to do so. It's hard work for so long as I'm the president.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Call my name. Calling out my name. It had been so long since I've heard it that it didn't really sound quite the same, no. But it let me know that my name had never really been spoken before. Before the day I carried you through the bridal path door. Since the day I haven't wanted anyone but you. And anybody who really knows me knows the truth. That I just can't stop writing songs about you. I love you so much.
Love you so much.
Cut off, but my closing, I was ready to sort of move on, except I said that's why everyone's so excited about the podcasting thing, is because it's almost like a mathematical thing, is that for blogging to really achieve its destiny, it's got to have this element to it too. It's got to reach into the car stereo and into when you're away from your computer, but you want that. What was the guy from CBC? We pointed to him today. He said the reason why radio is so cool is because it taps into your imagination. You
exactly, know? Theater, you know, of the mind is what we call it.
So true. Exactly. So it feels good because this is one of the check boxes we need to fill in. We need to know how to do this, and we need to have a distribution system for this kind of expression. So it's cool. So
well, we're definitely.
I think we'll pass the leading. Mm-hmm. I think we'll have more flow for the blogs than any professional medium very soon, very very soon.
Excellent. You know more than we do, Dave. That's for sure.
Well, I don't know about that. It's just to sort of like put my finger in the wind and, you know, wet it up a little bit and see what it feels like, you know.
Well, that's what you guys do in Seattle. In Holland, we just put our finger in the dike, you know. That's my job.
There you go. Okay, so let's hear the theme song now.
All right.
Let's get the fuck out of here,
everybody. All right, Dave, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Right on.
Bye-bye. The dubious cruise gun beats for you.